a sermon called Savage. I saw it on social media, and I didn't really know what it meant. So I texted a few people, and they gave me a definition. Then I went to the Urban Dictionary, and I was like, Lord, I can't say that one in church. But I came up with my own definition based off what people told me. And it's a person with an uncommon strength and courage to do things that make others marvel. So I was watching the NCAA tournament yesterday, and I watched a guy jump from like the dotted circle on 2 feet and dunk on this guy. And it's like, that's a savage move. So when you see somebody sing, like I think Fantasia, it's like one of the greatest. And when she gets through singing, she's like savage to me. Like, but there was a savage guy in the Bible by the name of Samson. How many of y'all heard of Samson? Samson was like many of us, though. He had great talent, great ability. But here's the challenge with Samson. He made bad decisions, and he had issues that would almost cause him to derail their purpose. Anybody gifted and talented here? Go on, wave your hand. Every gifted and talented person also has issues. You may be raising a gifted child in here, and you buy them a toy, and 2 weeks later they done took the whole toy apart, and they're trying to put it back together because they want to see how it works. All of us in here are some level of gifting. And gifted people, we have challenges, we have struggles that happen, and we have to learn how to balance out the two. Samson, can I give you some history on Samson? Samson was born to a mother who was barren, and she was born during the time when the children of Israel were in bondage to the Philistine army. And God sent an angel to speak to his mother and said, you're going to have a child, and she said, he's going to lead Israel out of bondage with the Philistines. But he said, here's the deal. You shall not cut his hair, because he's going to have a Nazarite covenant. The Nazarite covenant was this. You couldn't cut your hair. You could not drink wine, nor, somebody said, that counts me out right there. You couldn't walk by grapes, nor could you walk by a vineyard. You all right? You couldn't go anywhere near grapes, and you could not eat any dead thing or touch any dead thing. And here's the thing. That was the Nazarite covenant. But the thing about that covenant, it was not a long-term covenant. The Nazarites took this covenant. Sorry to bore you with history, but I just got to set this up. I'm going to explain grace to you in a minute. The Nazarites took this covenant in order to get ready for battle, in order to get ready for God to use them, because that was their way of being set apart. All right? So here's my main thought today. I want to show you how, through the demise of Samson, how through your covenant of grace, somebody say grace.
Grace.
Somebody say grace.
Grace.
You can live out your potential even with issues and after mistakes. Let me make sure I'm in the right house. Anybody here be honest and say, you got some issues? I want to be honest, say, I got some issues. Anybody in here and say, I've made some mistakes? Lift my hands, feet, my knees. I want to encourage you today that even after your issues and after your mistakes, God still wants to use you, and you can live a life for him. Let me give you some challenges. If you got your Bible, we're going to be in Judges chapter 14 and Judges chapter 16. I'm just going to kind of give you the backdrop of Judges chapter 14. Samson, one of his problems, he loved women. All right, just put it another way. So he would walk, and he saw a lady. And here's the thing. He walked to the enemy's camp and found a lady in the enemy's camp and said, she's beautiful, I got to have her. His father was like, can you not find somebody in our own tribe? He said, no, I want her. Matter of fact, can you go get her for me? So they went and got the lady for him. He married the lady, and they threw him a festival in honor of his marriage or what have you. Samson was so strong on his way once when he was walking with the lady, he killed a lion. And then he went back sometime, and the lion was dead, and some bees had set up camp in the lion's stomach. He took the honey out of the lion and was eating. Never mind bees. Some of y'all just scared of bugs. That did you right there. Stick his hand right there in them. That's strong. And was eating the honey and took it back to his parents, didn't tell his parents where he got it from. But at the party, the feast they were having, there was some gentlemen that came to him, and he told them a riddle. And they couldn't figure the riddle out. And after a while, they went to his wife, because his wife was from the same army that they were from, the same tribe they were from. And they said, if you could just work on Samson. And the Bible says she kept working on him. She kept working on him. I want to tell you something. What you allow to linger will eventually get you. At some point, it's knocking. It's knocking. And it's going to catch you at a weak moment if you don't deal with it. Because persistence beat resistance if you just let it keep going. So she got him, and listen, she told him the men about the riddle. The men came and told Samson the riddle. He was so angry that because she betrayed him. He went back home to his mama, and then a lot of stuff happened. Let me get to where I'm going. I'm going to show you how this happened. Number one, challenge to get the people is lust. Most of you, when I say lust, what do you think about? Just say it. What do you think about? It's sex. Sex. Sex is not the only form of lust that we struggle with. Some people lust for food. Like, anybody ever wake up thinking about food? Like, I wake up thinking about caramel apple empanadas from Taco Bell. And if I go, I can't just get the caramel apple empanada. I got to get the beef Mexi-Melt. And I can't just eat one. I got to eat three. So 1:30 in the morning, I could find myself at Taco Bell. Yeah, seriously. With three beef Mexi-Melts, a caramel apple empanada, and I got to have a Pepsi to go with it. Somebody said, that's wrong. Who need to be eating that at 2 o'clock in the morning? When you wake up, it's like Chris Rock. It be calling me, man. It be calling me. You know, it's just, when it wakes you up out of your sleep, you know it's not right. Lust is that same kind of way. For some people, it's sex outside marriage. For some people, lust is food. For some people, lust is clothes. Some people, lust is shoes. And when you're in lust, you will beg your needs and buy your wants. Because you're lusting for something. You need to pay your electric, but I'm going to give y'all 75 so you don't cut it off. Because the Kohan got a sale, and I got to get these shoes. And you walk slow when you get them, so everybody sees them. That's lust. He saw a woman. Watch this. Y'all joking, but everybody is tempted with something. Everybody in this room. It's not a temptation if you don't want it. Ladies, he's not going to tempt you with somebody that you don't think is beautiful. Fellas, he's not going to tempt you with somebody you don't think is beautiful. I love beef Mexi-Melts. It's probably not at 2 in the morning. Everybody's got that weakness. Then there is an entitlement. Samson told his parents, not only is a woman beautiful, I need you to go get her. And his parents went and got her. Entitlement is when we feel like we deserve something by nature of who we are. Because you're gifted. You think certain things ought to happen to you. When you're gifted, sometimes you can convince yourself that you don't have to work as hard as you should. When you're gifted, you think things are just going to happen for you. I tell Isaiah all the time, you're going to have a strong work ethic to keep up what you're doing right now. Because he's asking where he want to go eat. Maggiano's. It's $27 a person to eat there. Where are we going to go tonight? Can we go to Mimi's Cafe or Longhorn? The Outlaw Ribeye. You saying yes, but he ain't got no job. We're trying to get him to flush the commode when he get finished. He don't even take the trash out. I'm trying to teach him a work ethic so that when he gets older, he doesn't feel entitled. Because I already told him, I ain't taking care of you and your kids. I'm teaching you how to work. But when you are entitled, there is no drive to get what you should. Is that all right in here? Yes, another thing that gifted people who savage struggle with is covenant without communion. Samson was so strong, the Bible said he shook himself, and the power of God came on him. I'm not sure that I ever read in Judges 14 through 16 where Samson ever prayed to God and said, how should I use my power? When you are gifted, you can do things just because you can do them. Gifted communicators can make you cry and there's no anointing on them. Gifted singers can make you dance because that's what they do. Gifted, as a preacher, you learn certain buttons to make people do certain things. And I cannot have talked to God all week, but I can push certain buttons and tell you that God's getting ready to turn it around. Sooner or later, it's working in your favor. I can say, I got a feeling that everything. I ain't talked to God one, and all he got to do is, from certain circles y'all from, when that organ hits, y'all ready to go. And say, yes, he will. He helped Daniel in the lion's den. And y'all say, yes, he will. He helped Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And y'all say, yes, he did. And y'all say, he helped Gilligan get off the island. Y'all say, yes, he did. Gilligan wasn't even real. It was a show. But you can preach anything when you have a gift. But the gift ought to be connected to communion with God. And I told God, I want to use what you've given me for your power. The covenant with God, his covenant was you don't cut your hair and you got power. His covenant was strong. He was killing bears. He was killing men. He was doing these great things. He did it because he could. He didn't realize that God gave him power for a purpose. The next thing is this is uncontrolled emotions is a problem the gifted people struggle with. Two uncontrolled emotions that Samson struggled with. One was anger. Remember I told you about Samson told the riddle to those men and they couldn't figure it out, so they asked his wife. And because his wife was from the same place that they were from, she gave them the secret because she kept pressing him. He got so angry at her because she betrayed him that he packed up and went home back with his mom and his daddy. When you are angry, you will do stuff that you will regret later. When you are angry, you will say stuff. You ever had been around somebody when they're angry and they say, just give me a minute? When they say that, trust them. Give them two. Because they're liable to say something. They're liable to do something. Out of anger, many of us will walk away and leave stuff. And here's what happened with anger. He got so angry he left in Judges chapter 14. But in Judges chapter 15, he woke up lonely. He said, I never should have left that girl. And he went back and found out that her daddy had married her off again. And the very one that he pushed away and said he didn't want her, he went back to get her and she was with somebody else. And he got angry again. Can I tell you something? Anger is one emotion, but apathy is another. Being lonely and bored and gifted is a bad combination. When you are bored and when you are gifted, idle time is your worst enemy. Y'all be honest with me. You sit there, you get the, particularly if your mind goes 90 miles an hour, you can think of all kind of crazy stuff. Some of you have been mad at people, and you were bored, and you thought of 1,001 ways that you could get them back. You thought of how you could pay them back. You thought, I'm telling the truth in here. When you are bored, you will come up with kind of stuff. You will think about things that you hadn't thought about in a long time. All kind of stuff will hit your head. Every gifted person has to stay busy. Because if gifted people are not busy, they'll start tearing up stuff. And eventually you'll tear up your own life. So every gifted person has to deal with their anger. And they have to deal with, let me tell you how apathy set in with Samson. He got so angry after he went back to get the lady. Let me tell you what Samson did because he was so strong. He took, I think it was 300 foxes. Now, I saw a fox going across the road down there, and I wanted to just turn around. But he took 300, and he took some rope and tied every one of those foxes together and set the rope on fire and set everything on fire. Can you imagine how strong that is? You know, a fox is quick. When you are bored, you'll do stuff just because you can that you ain't got no business doing. If you can put 300 foxes together, think what else you can do. Think about this. As angry as you are and as bad, all the stuff you thought about dirty to get people back, as all the evil stuff you thought about, think if you switch that on the other side. I think every drug dealer, I think every womanizer, I think every person who does stuff in the wrong direction, if God will ever put you in the right direction, I think you can do just as great and demonstrative things for the kingdom. Am I right in here? For the kingdom of God. Let me show you how to get this thing right. Here's how you get it right. I'm going to show you Samson in Judges chapter 16. And this is after Samson had married Delilah. That lady had married somebody else, and he'd been with a few other women in between him, her, and now he met Delilah. And Delilah was apparently a beautiful woman, but Delilah was not for him either. I meet a lot of people that say, man, I'm tired of relationships. But here's the reality. I imagine Samson could have said the same thing because Delilah betrayed him. And you never think about this. Maybe you're dating the same type of person. And that's why you keep having the same type of experience. It is insanity to do the same thing the same way and expect different results. I can't trust nobody. Maybe you're trusting the wrong people because everybody's not untrustworthy. So here we find Samson in a cycle where he finds a woman just like what he just walked out of. And it picks up in verse 15. It said, then she said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? That's some strong words. How can you say you love me and your heart's not with me? He said, you have deceived me these three times. She was asking him, what's the source of his strength? And have not told me where your great strength is. And it came about when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him. She pressed him daily that his soul was annoyed to death. So he told her all that was in his heart and said to her, a razor shall never come on my head, for I have been a Nazarite to my God from my mother's womb. If I am shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I will become weak and be like other men. Here's the first thing to get it right. You got to pray for wisdom because you never want to share your heart with the wrong person. You got weaknesses that will never leave your life. There's not a Sunday that I preach to you that I don't struggle with being nervous. Am I going to say it right? If you guys are close enough, I preach here from my throat, so I spit sometimes when I talk. I pray for the first and second row. Ain't anointing that's flowing this way. It's always just like, there's something. No. I'm always rethinking something. Is this person smarter than me? I done put them to sleep already, right? Like, there's always something in my head that I'm battling with. But I've learned this. If you're not going to go anywhere, you're going to take several seats, and you're going to watch God do great things in my life. But there is always a weakness in your life, and you got to share it with the right person. The challenge with many of us, we either hold it and it eats us up, or we share it with the wrong people. Yeah. I challenge married couples in here to share with each other. But when you are upset with each other, you don't have to share your business with the world. Because watch this, you are liable to forgive that person, and now you've painted an image of that person to somebody else, and you back with them, now you look crazy. Now, there are healthy people that you need to bring into your life that you share your stuff with. But in wisdom, share your heart with the right people. Young ladies, young men, if you are in college, in high school here, I want to challenge you. There will be people who want to get to your heart so they can get to a part of you. And they know all the right things to say just to get you to get your guard down. That there are people, you don't realize this. Hey, let me tell you about a man. Can we just talk for a minute? Let me tell you about a man. When a man wants something, he'll study you. He'll smell your perfume and then go find it in the store and tell you, I like that. When a man, he studies your favorite color. He'll study what makes you, he will. You're being worked. You've been, not all the time, but when people want something, they study you. In a good sense, I think every husband should study their wife. Every person that's seriously dating, you got to study that person. But when you have wrong motives, there are people who are trying to get your guard down. So when your guard comes down, now you get to a safe place in your heart. I can get what I want, then I'm leaving. And you're left sitting there like, what in the world happened? Because you shared a part of you that should have never been shared. I want to challenge you guys in here, if you're in college, you're in high school, you got your parents. Your parents may seem like they walked the Red Sea with Moses. I promise you they didn't. My parents did not become cool until I got older, and then I realized that they'd been through some of the similar things. I want to challenge you, open your heart up to your parents. Don't be shut down with your parents. What's wrong with you, nothing? And then you telling some other 16-year-old with the same problem as you, and y'all just sitting there, y'all can't figure nothing out. I'm going to challenge you. Share it with somebody who can help you. Because the challenge becomes when I put my heart out there with somebody who doesn't know how to deal with it. And Samson opened his heart up to Delilah, and Delilah ended up betraying him because the only reason she wanted to know is because they promised her money when you got his secrets. So I want you to pray for wisdom. I'm not telling you to walk around and being scared of everybody. That's not what I'm saying. I'm trying to tell you to find who you can open up with. Because many of you, look straight ahead at me, we'll be honest. There were some things that you have been through that have been very embarrassing. There were some decisions that you have made that you wondered, how am I going to get out of this? And it is miserable to go through them by yourself. But there's a point in life where you got to find somebody that you trust, that you open up your heart to and say, this is where I am. You're not going to judge me. I know you know I made this bad decision. This is not who I am. Or I'm in a weak moment. I'm in a fearful moment. But you got to find somebody to say, I'm struggling. And don't find the person who has bad motives who just wants something from you. You want to tell somebody who says this, I know you're gifted. Your issues don't bother me. But I'm for your best interest. I don't have any other motives at hand. I want to challenge you. You don't do nothing else. Pray for wisdom that God puts you around the right people. The next thing is this. Judges 16 and 19, she said, she made him sleep on her knees and called for a man to shave his head off the 7 locks of hair. Now, can we stop for a minute? It is comforting for every man when you're married to just lay, when you could just lay there on your wife and just go to sleep. Ladies, I know you love to be held, but for a man, when you have the weight of the world on you, when you have somebody you're safe with, fellas, talk back to me. That you can just relax and be yourself with and just lay your head on his shoulder. The Bible says Samson laid his head in her lap. Ladies, can I tell you something? If there's no other place that a man wants peace at, it's when he comes home. Yeah, I got some amens right there. If there's no other place. I know we don't pick our shoes up. I know we can be trifling. But if we can have a place of peace, I know y'all asked us to do something 10 times, and we hear you on the 11th one. I know you're the same way, ladies. It's the same thing. The same thing for ladies. When you guys feel safe, the world is good. The reason why y'all want us to respond on the first time because it makes you feel safe. But something happens to a man when a man relaxes. Why don't you talk to me? I wouldn't talk to you either. You got to create an environment. I'm serious. He was so asleep. I don't know what you did to him. He was so asleep that they cut his head bald while he was asleep. Looked at him and said, that's some sleep right there. I'm not sure what happened. I'm not sure how he got to this position. Some man is texting his wife and saying, baby, I need one of them kind of naps. The man was asleep and they cut his hair while he was asleep. And then she woke him up. Ladies, can I say this? You have no idea how vulnerable we are with you and how much influence you have in our lives. If you ask the average man, why are you working so hard? Let me share, take care of my wife and kids. The average man, not a selfish man, the average man. You guys have no idea when you walk in a bad mood and you mad, you have no idea how that disrupts a man's world. In order for a man to deal with that, he has to fix it or check out. And many men, this ain't marriage, but many men check out because I don't know how to fix this. I don't know what you're bringing at me right now. So you, and I'm sitting here mad and you're just sitting there ain't saying nothing. He doesn't know what to do. Because I don't know if you want me to listen or if you want me to do something. So I want you to tell me what's going on. He was so asleep and he trusted her. They cut his hair off. She woke him up and said, the Philistines are on you. And he said, I will go shake myself as normal. And the power of God will come. But the power didn't come. You got to stay fresh. Because you can drift off and not know it. It doesn't happen overnight. You can come home and your kids really barely recognize who you are. You can wake up one day and say, baby, we ain't really talked in a minute. Because it's a slow drift that happens. Friends that drift apart. You don't even realize when it's happening. I fished in a boat just a few times. One time I was fishing by a bank. We looked up, and we were right by the bank, and before we realized we were talking and fishing, so we were in the middle of the lake. Most drifts happen over time when you don't monitor and pay attention to. You got to stay fresh and in the moment, because when you are gifted, you got to make sure you stay connected and fresh with God, because the power of God can leave you and you not even realize it. I say every day, Saturday morning when I came in here to get my stuff together, I got on my knees and I said, God, I want to stay fresh. I want to stay tapped into what you're doing. I don't want to be just a gifted person. Can I challenge you in here? Don't just watch. We do a lot of things in marriage and a lot of things out there. And people say, oh, man, don't he treat his wife well? Don't she treat her husband well? We do a lot of stuff for image, but are you fresh? We do a lot of things just because we can do them. But is it what we should be doing? I want to challenge you to keep the pulse of where you are and stay fresh. The next thing happened is this. In order to get it right, you got to ask God for redemption and restoration. Judges 16 and 21 says this. Then the Philistines seized him. Not only did they seize him, but they gouged out his eyes. You know what gouge is? They took their fingers and pulled a man's eyes out. And they brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze chains. And he was a grinder in the prison. Hear me real good. Satan wants to embarrass gifted people so that we end up like Samson, blind, bound, and bitter. No eyes, so he could not see. Bound, situation that he was in. And then he had to grind in the prison doing things that were well beneath his potential. Satan wants gifted people to live life bitter so that you're not living out your potential. But I believe God wants to give you your vision back. I believe God wants you free in here. I believe God wants you to have your joy back. Is there anybody here that needs God to restore your joy, give you vision, and cause you to be free in the name of Jesus? Let me show you what happened. I'm going to close with this. Verse 22 said this. This is one of my favorite verses in this whole story. It said, however, when the hair on his head began to grow, after it was shaved off. I want to tell somebody in here, your hair is about to grow back. I want to tell you, you've been stripped of some things. Anybody made some mistakes in here? Find yourself in situations, perhaps you're like Samson. God, my vision's not there. I'm bound. I want to tell you that your joy is coming back. I want to tell you that your dream is coming back. I want to tell you your ability to trust people is coming back. It may not be physical hair that's coming back, but whatever God has promised you, it is about to come back in the name of Jesus. You know what they messed up? They took out Samson's eyes. They bound him with chains to poles. They made him grind in a prison right there and made laughing at him, but they didn't take his ability to produce away. I want to tell you that you can lose everything, but as long as you have your faith in God, as long as you have a dream still left on the inside of you, you can produce 100-fold in Jesus' name. I don't care who broke your heart, as long as you still got the ability to love. I don't care if you've lost a job, you still got the ability to drive and get another one. The children of God are like baby's kids. We don't die, we multiply. And Satan don't understand some of you. Some of you say, baby's kids, Robin Harris, back in the day. Satan don't understand some of you, because as much as you're going through, you should be sitting in a corner rocking somewhere. But here you are in church, lifting your hands, opening your mouth, telling God, I thank you. I was talking to one lady when she walked in, and I said, how's your week been? She said, it wouldn't do no good to complain. She was just saying, God, you've been good to me. I got stuff that I could cry about. I got stuff that I could complain about, but I'd rather lift my hands, open my mouth, and say thank you. Let me show you your covenant with God. Your covenant is in Judges 16 and 28. Let me show you Samson's, and I'm going to talk about yours. Samson came to himself. He remembered the source of his strength. He remembered the God that did incredible things in his life. And the Bible said, then Samson called to the Lord and said, Lord God, please remember me. And please strengthen me just this time. Notice what he said here. And many of you have prayed that prayer, but you don't have that covenant. Your covenant is a covenant of grace. You don't have a one-time God. You have an again God. Has anybody ever prayed that prayer? God, if you just get me out of this. I prayed that prayer once. I promised this company in a job that I had that you would have close to $1 million in savings. Well, a year came around, and we calculated the savings. Not only was my calculation wrong, we didn't save them anything. We cost them $273,000. And when I found that, you know how you find out when you done made a mistake and things ain't going, you know that sick feeling in the pit of your stomach? I went to a park by where I worked, and I felt like Samson. I said, God, if you just get me out of this, you know I got Barbara. You know I'm pulling on God. You know I got Isaiah. In that moment, I felt God rebuke me. He said, Jason, don't ever pray that prayer again, because you're going to mess up again. He said, don't just ask me to do it this time, because I'm not a this time type of God. He said, I am the God that will deliver you, because many are the afflictions of the righteous, but it's God that delivers us out of them all. He'll deliver you this year. He'll deliver you next year. He's there waiting. And if you ever find yourself in that shape, if you ever find yourself needing God to bring you out, don't you let the devil guilt you saying God brought you out last time and that was it. God is rich in mercy. Remember I told you God's pockets are deep. God is a rich God, and he can bless you over and over again. Think about this. You sin, and you've been sinning for years, and he's still got grace and mercy. That make sense in here? He said, God, just this time. He said, oh God, that I may at once be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. He said, the Bible said, Samson, and here's the thing about God, he'll do what you ask him for. If you want once, he'll do once, but if you want it over and over again, he'll do it for you. Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested and braced himself against them, the one on his right and the one on his left. And verse 30 says this, and Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bent with all his might so that the house fell on the Lord's and all the people who were in it, so that the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he killed in his life. Samson went back to his covenant. And what God wants you to do is to come back to him, I don't care where you are, and say, God, you are my God. You have never failed. You are the one I need. You're the name that I trust. You're the name that I depend. I got some gifts, but I need you. I don't just need the gift, I need the giver. And when you get back in that place, God's covenant shows up in your life. The covenant, watch this, let me go back. Remember I told you the history lesson in the beginning? The Nazarite covenant was a temporary covenant. It was a holding pattern to get them ready for service. Your covenant is not temporary. You have a covenant of grace that is eternal. The Bible says it is a covenant based on greater promises. Your covenant of grace is access to God's favor. It is access to God's supply. Your covenant is this. It's not, grace is not God's end. You really messed up that time, Jason, but I'm going to do this. No, grace says this. You're guilty. You did it. You made a mistake, but I'm going to pardon you and give you access to my supply. Do I have anybody here to be honest and say guilty? Some stuff wasn't the devil. Some stuff was me. I made this decision. I got myself in this situation. I am guilty, but God gave me grace. He said, I'm not going to give you what you deserve. Oh, there's some people in here. You ought to be honest and say, God, I'm glad you didn't give me what I deserved. Because if you gave me what I deserved, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be preaching. I wouldn't be all of these things. But God says, yes, you're guilty, but I'm going to give you grace. That grace will cause you to do it again. You don't have to die like Samson. I'm not trying to contradict Scripture. But you can live after your mistake. You can live after your issues. And the same God, I don't care where you are right now, perhaps some of you right now, you're where Samson is. You're bound. You're blind. You want to be free. I want to tell you the same God delivered you before. Don't you be nervous to ask him. He will deliver you again. Is there anybody here to say, God, I need you to restore some things in my life? I need my peace. Anybody say, God, I need my joy. I need my dream rejuvenated. Anybody's heart been broken? You say, God, give me my purity of heart back. Show me how to love again. Show me how to trust again. If that's you in this house, lift your hands right now and say, God, restore me. God, renew me. Come on, if you need God to do it, pour your heart out to him right now. And I want to encourage you. We've seen him do it before, but God's going to do it again. He's going to make a way out of no way. We're going to believe God to do it again. Whatever you believe in God for, don't you let guilt stop you. He's an again God. He won't just do it this time. He will deliver you. He will set you free. Come on, let's worship God for a moment. Come on. What do you need God to do? He'll restore your credit. He'll restore your character. He will restore your integrity. I believe it. For a moment, I don't care what mountain is in front of you. You could be in college and you lost a scholarship. You could have lost your character, your integrity. Your credit may be shot. There may be things in your life that you say, God, guilty. I got myself in this situation. And I need you to restore it in the name of Jesus. God was blessing Samson because of his purpose on his life. And I want to tell you in here, your purpose has survived all of your mistakes. Your purpose has survived all of your disappointments. Your purpose has survived everything that God wants to do in your life. And God is about to do it again in your life. I want you to get whatever it is that you need God to do in your life. Wherever you feel bound, wherever you feel blind, wherever you feel like you're grinding, not making any more headways, God's about to restore it. And he's going to do it again. I want that to get in your spirit. There is no way. Yeah. Why is my head lifted? Because he's moved mountains. I've seen him heal cancer. I've seen him restore relationships. I've seen him restore character. I've seen him make ways when there's no way. When people said it was over and it would never happen again, God opened up a door that you never knew imagined. He's going to make a way for you. He's about to do it. He's about to move your mountain. And you're going to wonder, why do I feel good? I don't want to have false hope. This ain't false hope. Your spirit knows that God's about to do it again. So, Father, by faith, we're believing you that you are about to do great things. And I speak restoration over this house right now in Jesus' name. They're going to come back and sing, but go find somebody and tell them God's about to do it again.
I see you do it, oh, oh, oh. I see you move. You move the mountain.
Yeah. Come on. God's about to restore and do some things again in your life. I want you to make the enemy upset, and I want you to show your faith in God. You don't have to wait until your battle is over. You can shout the victory right now. If you believe God is about to do great things, I want you to open your mouth and praise him now. Come on, bless him now. God, you're about to do it. This week you were crying, last week you cussed everybody out, last week now you were negative, last week I thought it was over, I thought you were gonna quit, I thought it was over.
I see you do it. 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 I see you do it.
while the music is playing. Here's what I used to hear them sing sometimes. Here's what I would hear the season say to me.
Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. I've seen him do it. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. But listen. But then I would hear some of the saints say, they would say this right here. I tried it. And I found out he's all right with me. I tried it. And I found out that he's all right with me. But listen, without any words, they sit here and sung, I've seen him do it. And if you would just help me just for one moment do a faith move, here's what I'd like to do. You're saying, well, Elder Holman, what are you doing? I'm turning around. That's my faith move. I'm waiting for y'all to catch on. I'm waiting for you to catch on because, see, you may not have nice footwork, but you do have a every time I turn around type praise. Huh? You ought to have a every time I turn around praise. That when I don't understand it, he's still making a way. When I don't see it, he's still making a way. So if I put my faith on it, if I put my faith on it, I've seen him do it. Y'all, we gotta go. Oh, every time I turn around, he'll do it. Yes, he will.
Every time I turn around, he'll do it.
Yes, he will.
Every time I turn around, he'll do it.
Every time, every time, every time, every time I turn around,
he'll do it.
Every time I turn around, he'll do it. Yes, he will. Every time.
Better stop now. I'm trying to let this thing go. I know folk gotta go. So those of you that gotta go, go on and go. But I believe some folks still got some turnaround juice. You turned around. Listen, you're going through things. And whatever that is that you're going through, if you would just turn around and say, God, I know you will. God, I know your way. God, I trust you in all things. God, I may not understand. God, I may not even have the money. But what I do,
I know you will.
I know he will.
I know you will.
I know he will.
I know he will.
Oh, yes, he will.
I know he will. I know he will.
I know he will.
I know he will. I know he will.
Want to go, do you? You don't want to go? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, y'all. All now, all now. Come on. Ah. Stay there. Hold on. We're going to have it just for a moment. So this side going to say, I've tried it. I've seen him. He will. All right. I've tried it. I've seen him. He will. Got it? Here we go. We're gonna do it fast now. Hold on. They forgot. Listen. I've tried it. I've seen him. I've tried it. I've seen him. He will. I've tried it. I've seen him. I've tried it. I've seen him. He will. It, y'all. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now look, I got some things to do. Y'all be seated. Don't act up. Don't act up. Because after they would sing songs like that, then they would have a yes, Lord, in their spirit. Huh? They would have a yes, Lord, in the spirit. Because here's why. Because I've seen it. I've seen him do it. Over and over again. So as we're leaving today, here's what I want you to remember. There's still things God has for you. And all you have to do is just surrender to God. And he'll give you everything that you need. Amen. Hey, know y'all praise him and all high. But we still, if you ain't paid, hey, if you ain't did your tithes and all, we'll hook you up right here. If you want to join because you tried them and you seen how BFF do, we'll meet you in the room. If you need prayer, we'll meet you down there because we've tried him. We've seen him. He'll do it. So we'll hook you up in every room. Try him with your money. See that he'll work. He'll do it. Huh? Yes, he will. Oh. We're going home, y'all. Hey, you dismissed.